Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission
and help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show.
Before we get into today's show, let me share with you why I was incredibly grateful when Pastor Tamron Inanet agreed to be on the show. He and his wife were born in Pakistan. They led a thriving ministry there until God sent them to the USA to help the church here reach Pakistanis living in the US. He and his wife have two young sons, and they live in High Point, North Carolina. He also pastors the Point Church Urdu in Cary, North Carolina. You're about to hear an encouraging testimony which gives evidence for how God is moving globally to fulfill Revelation 7, 9 through 12. Pastor Tamron, welcome to Living the Dream podcast.
Wonderful. Very, very thank you to inviting me that we can work together. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking the call. We are under stay-at-home orders now in North Carolina, and so we can't be face-to-face, but thank God for technology where we can record this over the phone.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so how are you and your family doing, first of all, because of the coronavirus? Are you healthy and safe, and how are you having to adjust right now?
Well, we are so thankful to God that we all are good and fine. Me and my wife and both boys, we are just in home and all are healthy. Mm-hmm. Thankful to God for this time and just being in home and following the government's rules.
Yes.
We all are good.
As I'm sure you already appreciate, we love, as people of God, anytime we see a move of God where it brings the nations together. Whether that's in worship or whether that's in prayer, anytime we see the church on earth reflecting what the church is in heaven, we really rejoice about that. But you don't really want a pandemic to be that which brings the nations together, but it really is. And I really pray a lot of good will come out of this because we are grieving together. You know, like when 9/11 happened, the USA really grieved over that as a nation. And obviously, other countries have faced very similar crisis and stuff. But in my lifetime, this is one of the most significant global pandemics that I've ever witnessed. And the globe is really having to stand together and be strong right now in light of the coronavirus. What are you seeing and what is your family experiencing?
Yeah, that's very right that this coronavirus, this issue, this problem is not for locally. And this is not a problem for one region. Yesterday and today morning, I was talking in Spain, I was talking in Sweden, in Norway, in England, in Pakistan, India, here locally. So many places, there was everywhere, there is today one topic, and that's coronavirus. And that's worldwide. All over the world. You know, I was thinking that that's really, really time when every person, they have to become more close to God.
Yes.
And listen what God wants to speak through this situation.
Like it or not, there's so much that we're having to confront that is absolutely out of our control, but it's no way out of God's control. And not to say that God is the reason that he has plagued us with this virus or anything like that. His word makes it very clear that that which is meant for evil, he will make for good. And that's our prayer, that the world will really turn to the Lord Jesus in this time and find hope and refuge in him in the midst of these days of uncertainty.
You know, that's very right. And I was sharing in my church also online, and I was telling some of my friend also that when this kind of things are happen, which is not in human beings' control, that's 100%, that's in God's control. We need to see and we need to learn this thing that God, what you are speaking to me through this situation, mm-hmm. what you are speaking to my family and my church and my community from this situation, what you are speaking, truly, truly, he want to make us ready. And we know that he's coming soon. We have to be prepared and we have to be ready for his kingdom.
Well, that's a very good principle, what you just shared. Because if ever there's a time, if you turn on the TV, there's no way that that is going to result in anything other than fear. And it's not that news is bad. We need information. Thank God that news is there whenever there's a hurricane coming toward us. And now we're able to see so many people saved as a result of the information that we get from the news. But this is a day where we really have come to the end of that in dealing with fear. And the hope is found in realizing we have the opportunity as believers to say, okay, God, what are you saying? What does the word say here? Give me your perspective here. And it's with that that I really want to talk to you about living the dream and this vision that we see in Revelation 7, 9 through 12 of every nation, every tribe, every tongue standing before the throne in heaven, worshiping the Lamb, worshiping Jesus together. And it's our prayer through this podcast that the church would be on earth as it is in heaven. And you're one of those global leaders. God has really crafted your heart to be a pastor to the nations and to realize the gospel is for all people. Help us to know how you got there as far as God just really speaking to you. How have you heard God speaking about his church, about his bride, about what ministry looks like now in 2020?
Well, especially how you talk about international community, when international community, they are coming here and millions of people, they are coming in this country. And we are so thankful to God mm-hmm. that that's God who allows that people that they can come here in this country. When God allows them that they can come here, and so many times I pray to God and I said to God that, God, why? What's the reason you want that they can come here in this country? Mm-hmm. Why they are coming in this country? And the truly always number one answer is this. We can show them the love of Christ.
Yes. We it's can for the share, Great Commission.
Yes. We can share gospel to that community, to that international. I encourage so many of my friends that how hard, difficult, and dangerous it is from going from here to all over the world, like country to Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, mm-hmm. or the India, or that kind of countries, how difficult it is to getting the visas and tickets and going there and learning language and learning culture. And then we get opportunities to share gospel. But God makes so easy for us. Where we have to go, God sent that nation right here. Now today, mission field is surrounding us everywhere. It's not difficult to find international community. It's in our backyard. It's in Walmart. It is on streets. It's in mm-hmm. everywhere. And the only reason is this, that we can share gospel. Probably a few weeks before, I met one guy, and that was Pakistani guy, and they were living here in High Point where I'm living, and he was probably his family, they were living in America, more than 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the truth was this, still they never ever heard gospel. And that was very challenging thing, mm-hmm. that they are living here close to churches, close to believers, on the same street where we have churches and believers and missionaries, all that people, but they never ever heard gospel, even from last 30 years.
Wow. And that's my fear, that we're going to, America will get to heaven along with believers all around the world. I'm not saying heaven's only for Americans, but we'll get to heaven and we'll look around and say, begin to grieve because why didn't we do more? Why didn't we provide a witness of Christ to the internationals right there in our own community?
I talked to church and I said to them that if today we will not share gospel with them, surely they will share their religion to our generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need to share gospel with them.
Yes. We have been given such an incredible opportunity by Almighty God to take the gospel to the nations. And what better opportunity? He's bringing the nations right to our own backyard. Tell me about your ministry. How did you end up in High Point, North Carolina? Are you born in North Carolina?
No. Me and my wife, we both of them, we born and raised in Pakistan. We moved in probably 2012. We were running extremely great ministry. I was born in a Christian family, mm-hmm. and my dad, he was minister. But my grandfather, his name was Allah Ditta. And you know, Allah is Muslim God, and
yes.
Allah Ditta means is Allah's gift. Mm-hmm. He came to Christ through American missionaries. When 70, 80 years before, when American missionaries, they went from here to Pakistan and they learn Urdu language, Punjabi language, and they share gospel with my grandfather and he accept Christ.
Wow.
And today God sent us here in this country as a missionary.
That's awesome.
And yeah.
How did God bring you to the U.S.?
We were running our extremely big ministry in Pakistan. We were doing a lot of crusades there. Mm-hmm. We never use word crusade, but we were doing the gospel campaign and festival. And so many people, they were coming in churches and they are becoming the part of churches. And then there was persecution was started. And then there was only and only option for us was to leave that country, the country where we born and live, we grow up, and then we decide to move from there. And I was in several different countries, in Middle East, in Malaysia, and church planting there. Then I go back to Pakistan. Then from Pakistan, we move in New York. And the reason was this, why we moved from New York to North Carolina. I become to know through state convention that in North Carolina, there is no any single Pakistani church.
Mm.
In North Carolina, where we have churches on every corner, churches we have everywhere, the state of Bible Belt and state of Billy Graham, we don't have Pakistani church here.
Mm.
And that was very touching to our heart that mm-hmm. we decided we will go in High Point. We were not sure that where we are going, but we become to know that High Point is the place where we can go and start ministry.
When you came, did you have any stats on how many Pakistanis are living in North Carolina, living in High Point?
You know, interesting thing, more than 5,000 Pakistanis living in High Point.
Mm.
More than 5,000 Pakistanis living just in High Point. And God lead us to come here. And that's the place where we decide that we can start a ministry from here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have started our church in Cary, the Point Church Urdu.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're actually pastoring two fellowships right now, one in High Point, one in Cary. Am I understanding?
High Point is more as a ministry, where we are local churches, we are giving training to them, how they can reach to international community locally. Mm-hmm. And in Cary Raleigh, that side, we have church there.
Well, I love in the gospel how Jesus talks about leaving the 99 and going after the one. And that is such a statement of security on those 99. You know, there is no neglect at all for the 99. It's like you are covered. You have been forgiven. You have the Father's provisions over you. So you be here confident, secure, accepted, significant, and let me go after the one and leave the 99 and go after the one. And I think of that as I hear your story. I mean, literally uprooted you from your home country, your home language, a significant ministry there, and brought you here to chase after the one. What love the Father has for us.
Amen.
And so how did you get connected with Pastor Chris at the Point Church and begin to plant Urdu Fellowship in Cary?
You know, probably almost 7 years before we were visiting that side, because we were living in High Point, but once a week we go in Cary, Raleigh, and Triangle, that area, that we can find people and make some connections. And we were doing that thing from last 7 years. Mm-hmm. But we never feel that that's the time we can start the church. And when God was speaking to us to, now it's time to start a church or having the fellowship on the regular services. On the same time, God was speaking to Chris Ankin also to start Pakistani church. And then there was, through state convention, there was Ralph Gary and Sammy Joe. Mm-hmm. They connect me with Chris Ankin. When Chris Ankin and me and one other guy were sitting together, and he was sharing about the vision of Point Church, when he was sharing and talking on, and it was already what it was in my heart, and that's again I'm listening from him.
Yeah.
And even you know, truly God speaks through dreams and vision. And even one day before, I saw that dream, and my dream was this, that Temran, tomorrow what meeting you are going to have, that's going to be a successful meeting. Mm-hmm. And in the end of the meeting, Chris Ankin, he said, Temran, do you have any question? And I said, no, I don't have question, because answer is sitting front of me. And that's God's answer.
Yeah.
When you have answer, you don't need to raise more questions.
This is an introductory interview. I'm very grateful for that. But I'd love for you to just take a few moments and just share with us some of your encouragement to the churches there in High Point and reaching Pakistanis. So what is God, as a native of Pakistan, what does God burden you with? How does he have you pray in? How are you preparing the church? What are you seeing that can help churches across the U.S. to have the demographics of their community represent in the demographics of their church? Because Pakistanis are moving over the last 20 years into neighborhoods all across the U.S. High Point has 5,000, but that is not secluded. That is only a sampling of what's happened all across the U.S. What would you say? I'm not asking you for one of your training sessions, because I know that that will take more time and we can have more interviews in the future. What are some of the key points that God's pounding in your heart that the church in the U.S. needs to hear from you right now?
You know, I believe that local church is the hope for globally, for internationally. And church is the biggest platform in USA, or even all over the world. The authority what gave to the church, that's we really need to be understand. I don't mean that authority mean that we need to bring banners on the road.
Mm-hmm.
No, we use authority, and that authority is pray. We need to pray, and especially for international community when they are coming, we need to pray one thing, that for us, that God open our heart, prepare us for that to reach to international community. That's one very important thing.
Yeah.
Because now, today, our community is becoming really changed so fast because of the international community is merging here. And if we think that being as a white community, we need to just focus the white community, our black community, we need to just focus the black community. I believe this is actually just the one community, which is God create this community. Whole world is here. And we need to engage with that community, the especially international community. Sometimes we think that we cannot speak their language. And language is barrier. I wanted to encourage you. Language is not barrier. Language is bridge.
Yes.
It really connects you. And when the problem is this, that we are not going to that people. If we go to them, they are people, those who are waiting to receive us. And we need to go and engage with that community and invite them and bring them in the church. And God will do the great revival to that nations. Because when we go in heaven, then we are one church, no matter what's our background. And we have to be ready right here, right now.
Amen. Very well said. And I just present that as a very practical question to our audience today. Are you praying for God to open your heart? Are you engaging the whole community, not just one of the faces of the community, but the whole community? Those are very practical that every one of us can answer yes or no. And we can take action right now based upon that, our response. If in all honesty, we have to say, no, I really have not made it a part of my life to be praying for God to open my heart, then right now can be that turning point. We can begin praying, Lord, open up my heart. Align my heart with your heart. Let me see the community the way that you see the community. Because I really believe our brothers and sisters in Christ really are passionate for Christ and they're passionate for the Great Commission. We want to reach our community and change the world. But yet, if we're not reaching the whole community, we are really shooting ourselves in the foot in our strategy. And it's when we can reach those friends from India and from Pakistan and from South America and Mexico and all over that we can really begin to fulfill the Great Commission. Because one pastor even said, every international we see, we should see as a missionary. They are a potential Saul to Paul. And they can become a church planter. They can become the next Billy Graham. There's no limit to what God can do through them.
And now, a story from the mission field.
So I have a funny story about developing asthma in India. India gets its rain predominantly in the months of June, July, August, and September. Usually by the month of December and January, it's very dry and dusty throughout the vast majority of India. And so we have a team mid-January over in India, and I'd been there a couple of weeks, and I'm in a rural area with one of our teams, and I develop a sinus infection. I have a horrible headache, my eyes are pounding, and I have this cough, and I cannot sleep at night. And I've never had asthma in my life. So on that team, there was a doctor there that that was treating me and listening and very observant as to my suffering as I continued to get worse. And I was taking everything that I knew to normally take for my allergies and for my sinus infection and now even for a migraine, and nothing was helping. And this doctor said, have you ever taken an inhaler for asthma? And there had been a lot of smoke from the fires around this community and a lot of dust. And I'd never had an asthma flare up ever in my life. But they said it's actually relatively safe to try an inhaler. And you'll either know immediately whether it's going to be helpful or not. It will either help you or it won't, but it will not hurt you. And so I took my doctor's advice that was there on the team, and I used the inhaler, and 24 hours later, it was completely gone, and I was restored. And it was such an incredible miracle of God to have the doctor there, to have the inhaler there, and to give me exactly what I needed in that moment. I love stories like that from the mission field.
We want to give some local love to our friends at Future Homes by Jim Thompson, located in Apex, North Carolina. With over 40 years of home building experience, the Thompson family has established itself as a trusted and consistent provider of the area's finest new homes. Jim Thompson's BuildZoom score places the company in the top 98% of contractors in North Carolina. Not only are the homes extravagantly beautiful, but their hearts are generous. We recognize Jim and his wife Eileen's witness for Christ and their incredible generosity for expanding heaven through gospel missions. Check out their website today at futurehomesonline.com. Support the work of Global Hope India financially by becoming a partner at globalhopeindia.org. God uses each one-time or reoccurring tax-deductible gift to radically transform individuals, churches, and communities. Every gift matters. Thank you for your generosity.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
I want you to remember, as we talk about know your numbers, we're talking about know the number of souls that Almighty God has created and loved and sent His Son to die for. Let's talk about the ethnic groups. There's five major ethnic groups. The first is whites. 70% of whites identify themselves as Christians. 79% of blacks identify themselves as Christians. Only 34% of Asians, this is 4.6 billion Asians on planet Earth, only 34% identify themselves as Christian. 77% of Latinos identify themselves as Christian, and mixed ethnic groups, 64% of them identify themselves as Christian. Christ is being made known among the whites, among the blacks, among the Latinos, and among the mixed, but it is very slow in progressing the gospel among the Asian community. We've got work to do. Know your numbers.
Tell me what you've seen. Tell me how you've seen God work even in the time that you've been in the U.S. as far as you don't necessarily have to name names as far as disclosing anyone's identity if there's any vulnerability there, but just some of the stories of transformation that you've seen.
You know, we have seen that so many people, they are coming to us, and earlier one guy was sharing to me that he said that Jesus came in my dream. And he was from Muslim background, and he said that Jesus came in my dream. He was using the word Isa. And I wanted to learn, who is Isa? Who is Jesus? Tell me something about him. I need Bible. I want to read Bible. He received Bible, and he started following Christ. And then God changed his life. He would start to sharing gospel with his brothers and sisters and parents and family. So many difficulties he has to start to facing. But the life was changed. His life was changed. And that his brothers, his parents, his friends, his family, they can notice.
Yes.
They can see that the joy of the God and peace. And how he living, he's a different person.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And his life, his lifestyle to following Jesus, becoming as a big impact for the other family members also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how God speaks through dream and vision, and we feel that we are not ready to go to share gospel with them. God is that much ready.
Yes.
He's changing by himself. He's that much ready. And he's changing life through there. And you know, you never know that maybe you are in this process when you are ministering to someone who's from the international community. And you may feel that he accepts the Christ in a moment, or you may feel that it's too long. From years you are sharing with mm-hmm. him and still nothing happened. You right. never know when God can change person in a moment, like how God changed Paul's life and Paul changed all over the world.
And we've spoke about that on our podcast, to just have God-given patience as we go out, love our neighbors, because sometimes it doesn't happen in an instant. It can. But many times it takes years, and just to be patient and wait on the Lord for salvation in that. But I love that encouragement, how practical that is. We don't have to be ready. And if we wait until we're ready, we may never get there. But as long as we will flip it and realize the Holy Spirit is always ready, always willing, always able. Often he just wants us to be available and to be his hands and feet in that conversation. Sometimes we put God in seminary status, and where we have to have seminary level training and preparation before we can really go be a witness for Christ. And nothing could be further from the truth. We just need to be available. Yes, we should all be sharpening our knowledge of the word and our discipline of prayer and so forth. But really what we need is just to be available and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Pastor, thank you for your encouragement. Is there any particular passage that God is pounding in your heart right now that communicates a message to the church?
Two things I like to share from the Word of God. One is Jesus said that, come to me, follow me. One thing in this situation, in the time when we are facing coronavirus, what God is speaking. God is speaking, come to me, follow me. And then other passage which is coming in my mind, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, 19 and 20, that verse. I believe that his last words should be our first priority, that Great Commission, mm-hmm. that Supreme Commission.
Yeah.
And God is speaking, especially in these days, when because of the coronavirus, church buildings are closed, but no one can stop church. Right. And that's a beautiful time when God is speaking to us that God is not dying for church buildings. Jesus, he died for us. And church is much more bigger than the building. And such a beautiful picture. God bringing us back to in Book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Like in these days, truly, we are having more church than the Sunday church.
Yes, praise the Lord. And that passage that you just shared, we know it well, but I'm just going to read it for us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pastor, would you be willing to read Revelation 7 in Urdu?
7:9-12
yes.
in Urdu?
Yes.
Mukashfa ki kitab, bab number 7, uska 9-12 aaye tak. In baaton ke baad, jo maine nigaah ki, to kya dekhta hoon? Ke har ek kaum aur kabila aur ummat aur ahle zuban ki ek aisi badi bheed, jise koi shumar nahi kar sakta, safed jaame pehne aur khajuron ki daliyan apne haathon mein liye hue, takht aur barra ke aage khadi hain aur badi aawaz se chala chala kar kehti hain ke najat hamare khuda ki taraf se hai jo takht par baitha hai aur barra ki taraf se aur sab farishte us takht aur buzurgon aur charon jandaron ke girda gird khade hain phir wo takht ke aage munh ke bal gir pade aur khuda ko sajda karke kaha Ameen, Hamd or Tamjeed or Hikmat or Shukr or Izzat or Kudrat or Taqat, Abdul Abad, Hamare Khuda ki ho. Ameen.
Amen. So be it, Lord Jesus. Pastor, thank you for reading that and sharing that. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. To God be the glory for that vision that he's given us. And I'm so thankful for you as a brother in Christ. You're a hero of mine, that you're on the front lines working to that end, that the church would be on earth as it is in heaven. Pastors, you are one of the resources that we can point people to. I'm thankful that you're there in the High Point area, and any listener there can be in contact with you. And I'm encouraged that if God can do that in High Point, he's doing that all across the U.S. And so in your community, there is probably someone like Pastor that is there raising up training and encouragement for the church, the American church, as they reach the people far from God, as we all work together to love our neighbors, especially the foreign-born internationals that God is moving into our community. Pastors, are there other resources that come to mind before we close out the show that you'd like to just share and point us to?
Sure. The best resource to reaching international community is the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
Truly.
Yes.
There is no any better resource than that book. Truly. That's the biggest resource. Of course, there is several books also which you can see and learn. In these days, there was one book very famous by Dr. Nabil Qureshi, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. That's a really good book. There is some other books. And truly, now in these days, there's a lot of stuff on internet also, how we can reach to international community. There was a book written by Kulthum also. And these are some books you can see. You can see through state convention, mm-hmm. their website also. There is some material which you can find. And you can surely go to the Point Church mm-hmm. website also, where you can have my contact, my information. There is our other website, First Indo Park Church, where you can communicate to me also, and I can recommend it some more thing also, that if you have heart to reach the nation, God will prepare you for that.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Tamron, thank you so much for your time and for sharing this heart of God for the Pakistani people, that those that speak the Urdu language. We pray for you. We pray for them. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, that this would be the hour that the church really comes together, representing on earth as it is in heaven. Pastor, God bless you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you. May God bless you. Appreciate it.
We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/dream and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.